thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Candy Staten with Young Hearts Run Free. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio and The Happy Hour. Paulina here, keeping you company over the next little while as we talk all things happiness, well-being, and just all those good things that help us look after ourselves. Now, coming up on the show today, of course, I'll be bringing you the music therapy moment. We'll have some interesting facts about spring because it is officially springtime. I'll bring you an interesting news story. Now, if you're a fan of the Teletubbies, well, there's a new fashion collaboration. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later. It's a bit random. And of course, we'll have those really, really interesting conversations. We'll be hearing from Cubby Blind Comic. He'll be joining us later. We'll have some spring tips for gardening from Charity Thrive. And of course, joining us with some things to listen out for in nature this month will be Andy Shipley with his latest sensory reflections. So lots coming up on the show. Keep me company. Enjoy the music. We have some great ones coming up, like this one, Toto Africa. Love it. You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, it's officially springtime, so we thought, what better time to take a look at our gardens and find out what we could be doing as the weather gets a little bit nicer. Well, joining me today, full of great advice, is Julia Smith, a social therapeutic horticulturist with Charity Thrive. Julia, it's so lovely to have you on the show today.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you.
So let's have a look at our gardens because it is springtime. So what can we see happening at the moment?
It's a great time of year. It's great to be out in the garden with it waking up after the cold winter we've had. First, we've had the snowdrops and the crocus flowering. And now, as many of your listeners hopefully will know, there are lots of yellow flowers around with the narcissi and the daffodils, many of which have a beautiful scent. These will soon be followed by the hyacinths, liked by some for their scent, but especially if they're indoor, that can be a bit overwhelming. And then we'd followed by bluebells.
And I imagine there's a bit of more birdsong around as well, and it's just generally much nicer, isn't it?
It is. It's a lovely time of year to be out in the garden, hearing the birds. I was out in my garden yesterday and hearing a blackbird singing away. It just makes me think of nice, warm summer evenings being out in the garden. It's real change of season. You can hear the robins chirping away. Here in our garden at Thrive, we can hear woodpecker quite often up in the trees, pecking away, tapping away. And just today, where it's windy, you can hear the leaves rustling or the smell of the bulbs as you walk past the beds with the bulbs in. And then out of the cloud, you get this lovely warm sun on your face and it just feels so fresh and new as the start of this gardening season.
I think as we start venturing out a bit more into this nicer weather, is there anything we can start, I guess, preparing as we get ready for planting some things into our gardens?
Yeah, there's lots to be doing right now. First thing is to think about what you want to grow in your garden. Do you want to grow edibles or flowers or a mixture of both? Do you want to grow them for their scent or their colour or to attract the bees? And then if you decide you want to grow vegetables, think about what space you have to grow them. It might be you've only got a windowsill. Perhaps you could just grow a few herbs on the windowsill, or a balcony. You could grow a pot of tomatoes or some dwarf French beans. If you've got a garden, well, you can grow lots of things. Think about things you like to eat. What is it that's expensive or in short supply in the shops at the moment? Perhaps you might want to think about growing those sort of things. Then think about the seeds you're going to use. Some people find sowing seeds quite tricky. So you can buy seed tapes, which might make it easier to space the seeds out because they're already stuck onto the tapes, and you can buy these often online. Or you can even make your own seed tapes using some cheap toilet roll. Roll it out to the length of your garden bed you want to grow, plant the seeds in, or the seed tray. Place small dots of glue on the toilet paper according to how far apart you want the seeds, and then put the seeds on there. Maybe you can get friends, family, children, grandchildren involved in making seed tapes for you, and then you can leave them to dry and use them when you're ready to start sowing seeds. And if you do decide to grow vegetables, you might want to decide to grow something that's easier to plant rather than small seeds, perhaps things like onion sets, which are basically a tiny little onion that you plant to grow over the summer, where you can feel the pointed end that tells you they're the right way up to plant them. Or you could go for plug plants, which you can buy in the garden centre, and then you don't have to worry about planting the seeds because they're already little baby plants ready to go in the ground. Or potatoes, because they're very easy to put in the ground. If you do decide to grow seeds straight from the packet, then you could consider mixing them perhaps with some silver sand, because that then helps make it easier to spread them more evenly over the surface of your soil.
What about flowers, if that's what we would prefer to plant?
If you decide to grow flowers, you might want to grow perennials, things that will come back each year in your garden, or shrubs that will give you some year-round structure to your garden. But then you need to think about also about where you're going to put the plants in your garden. Could they be used to help guide you around your garden so you know the different parts of the garden by what you can smell or feel as you walk around? But don't forget, probably not a good idea to put a spiky plant by the edge of the garden where you're going to be walking and brushing past it. But you might want to think about plants that maybe attract pollinators into your garden that are going to bring bees for you to listen to, and the lovely scent from the flowers. So it depends what people prefer. Some people don't like overwhelming scent of flowers, whereas others find it absolutely beautiful to smell all the different flowers in the summer.
And I guess by mixing them up, when you add all these textures, it can make it a little bit easier to navigate your garden patches, especially if you are a keen gardener and you have lots of things there.
Exactly, yes. And perhaps putting a plant label next to your plants, even though you can't necessarily see what's written on it, you can feel, just know that that's a genuine plant as opposed to a weed that you're trying to remove when you come to weed.
Oh, so this actually brings me to my next question. What are some of the ways people can use to prepare their garden? Some other tips. You already mentioned the labels, of course.
Things like using hand tools rather than long handle tools. So you can be down, if you're able to get down to the ground, you can then work directly on the surfaces of the soil. You can feel more easily than using a hand fork or a trowel exactly where you're working, with one hand feeling for the weeds, the other hand using the fork to remove them. It might be worth using some yellow tape, something like insulating tape you can buy in a DIY store very cheaply. Mark your handles of your tools with that, so that if you do have some sight, it makes them easier to pick out on the ground. And perhaps where you've been working, leave a radio there, whilst if you go off to get something and come back, then you can find your way back to where you've been working by the sound.
So some really great advice there. Now, if we wanted to attract wildlife into our garden, so we're of course talking different birds, but also I think bees are a big one for everyone who does love venturing out into their gardens.
Yes, there are lots of plants that will attract pollinators, bees, butterflies into your garden. And also to think about plants at different times of day. So maybe having some flowers will give off scent later in the evening in the summer, or attract moths, whereas earlier in the day it will be more bees and butterflies. So from some more bedding plants to up to big huge sunflowers will all attract different bees into your garden. And maybe also with something like a sunflower, it will attract birds as well, because they will eat the seeds once the flowers passed. The birds will then come to eat the seeds, which is attracting more wildlife into your garden.
Well, Julia, you've given us so much food for thought with all of your tips, and I imagine there's a little bit more information we can find around gardening on your website as well.
Certainly, there's lots of advice in our Get Garden site on our website, which can be found at www.thrive.org.uk/get-gardening. And if you have any tips, any of your listeners have any tips, then we'd love to hear them. If you can email us at info@thrive.org.uk.
Fantastic. Well, Julia, it's been brilliant speaking with you today, and I look forward to trying out some of your tips in my own garden.
Thank you very much.
The one and only Leona Lewis with Bleeding Love. Such a good track. Now you're listening to The Happy Hour with Paulina, keeping you company over the next hour. Now, we had those lovely gardening tips with Julia just there, but of course, spring is here, so I had a look at some interesting facts about spring. So let's have a look at them together. And apparently, springtime, or in this case, Easter particularly, you're more likely to see snow in Easter than during Christmas. Now, that's apparently due to the fact that Easter moves a little bit. So if you're looking at March, you are more likely to get an average of 4.2 days of snow versus 3.9 days in December. So we're looking at like a very minimal difference in statistics, but there you go. There might be snow over Easter. Who knows? Now, another good spring fact is we are definitely getting finally more sun. And of course, on the 20th of March, it's the first day of spring, and it's also the vernal equinox, which means 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. Oh, I can't wait for those really, really long days and just enjoying the sun. And, you know, if you enjoy springtime and are planning on gardening, do let us know. I would love to know what you guys are planting in your gardens and what you're looking forward to the most in this season. Our email is radio@rnab.org.uk. Now we have that conversation with Cubby, the blind comic, coming up in a moment. Chesty Hawks with The One and Only. Such a good tune on today's happy hour. Now, we are going to talk a little bit about comedy right now because blind comedian Cubby is back for another catch-up with our RNIB Connect Radio team. Well, he's been speaking with Amelia and he has some really interesting projects brewing, so he's been telling her all about them.
Cubby is a Glasgow-based comedian who received four yeses on Britain's Got Talent back in 2020. He's been getting lots of laughs on the Scottish comedy circuit since then and is here to tell us about some of the exciting things that he's been doing since he talked to Ellie last spring.
But before we start talking, let's have a little listen to some of Cubby's stand-up.
You know, it can be frustrating being blind, especially when it comes to things like my birthday, right? I mean, I don't know why people would insist, right, in wrapping my gifts. Hardly spoiling the surprise, is it? I mean, see, if I wanted a surprise, I'd just get in my kitchen and play a game of dinner roulette with tins of food.
Hi, Cubby. I'm excited to hear about all that you've been up to in the last year. What have the highlights been? What's changed for you since then?
Well, since that point, I've basically just been trying to work my way through the circuit and build up a reputation and get the longer slots and higher profile gigs, and that seems to all been going really quite well. Plenty of plans for the new year and more interest all the time, so everything is quite positive at the minute.
That's great. And how has your style changed because you're doing longer sets?
Yeah, well, as much as I can. I tend to talk mainly about what happens in my daily life, and obviously my blindness is a massive part of that, so it's always going to be part of my set, sometimes more than others, but it's always the elephant in the room, and it's something I need to address every time I get on stage. And to be honest, there's a really funny material contained in being blind.
And you're working on your first show for the Edinburgh Fringe this summer. What is the show about? And you're working in a group of three people. How has it been developing a show with other people when you're used to performing mostly your own sets?
Well, I've got to be honest, working with other people, if I was to use one word, it would be frustrating, because it's difficult to get meetings and organise gigs and meeting up, but we're getting there and we're gradually planning the show. At the moment, we're going to have our first work in progress at the start of March, and then we're going to give it a run in the Glasgow International Comedy Festival and keep working through other shows until we eventually get to Edinburgh in August. The show itself is going to be called Pain Stopping, Choose Life, Choose Laughter, which is basically a life-affirming show about how myself and my two colleagues deal with the cards that have basically been dealt in life and how they've managed to adapt and deal with the situations that have been handed.
And how is making and developing an Edinburgh show or a longer show like this different than how you develop your own sets?
Obviously, we want to provide something that has a theme, and it's more of a kind of journey rather than just a single person talking about life. So we've tried to have the life-affirming theme throughout the show. And given there's three of us, there's going to be transitions into each of us performing. Probably we'll find a natural rhythm to who's opening, who's middle and who's finishing, but we'll work that out as time goes on. But we're just really excited about how it's going to go and the doors it may open for us.
And what are you most excited about going to the Fringe, and what are you a bit wary of? Because some other comedians talk about it as quite a gruelling but very fun experience.
I'm really looking forward to it in terms of it's something I've never done before. Gigging that many days in a row, I'm expecting it to be quite grueling, as you said, and probably test my friendships to the limit. But I think the whole point in doing it is to become better comics and hopefully develop a performance along the way.
And you've got a gig coming up a bit sooner as well, on the 1st of April. Can you tell us a bit about that show?
Yeah, so this is part of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. I'm appearing a few times during the festival. As I said, we've got a work in progress for the Edinburgh show during the festival. But also, I have got a Scottish Comedy Collective show taking place at Eastwood Park Theatre on the 1st of April. And it's going to star myself and other comedians, Graham Mackey, Chris Forbes and Raymond Mearns. And it's looking very positive in terms of sales and should be a great night. We're all really looking forward to it.
Awesome. And where can people find out more about your work and find tickets to your upcoming shows?
There's some tickets available through the Glasgow International Comedy Festival itself, or tickets can be picked up through East Renfrewshire Culture and Leisure. Best place to follow me would be on Facebook through Cubby Comedian, or through my Twitter, which is David_Cubby.
Well, thank you so much, Cubby, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio, and we'll hopefully talk to you after your Fringe show.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'd be delighted to come back and let you know how it all went.
Amelia there, speaking with Cubby, the blind comedian. Now, if you would like to listen to that previous interview they did, it was in April of last year, so just search on RNIB Connect Radio podcast and you'll be able to find it there. Now, still to come on the happy hour, we'll have a sensory reflections, we'll have our music therapy moment, and for something to laugh at, there's an interesting fashion collaboration that involves the Teletubbies. I'll tell you later. Oh, you really can't have a bad day when you hear some Bonnie Tyler holding out for a hero on RNIB Connect Radio. And you're listening to the Happy Hour with Paulina. Now, if you tune in regularly to the show, you know I love a random, sometimes quirky or funny news story. Well, the one I dug up this year has a bit of a fashion flavor to it. And apparently a high-end designer, Christian Cowens, actually created a very unique collaboration. He has created a bit of a selection of outfits collaborating with the Teletubbies. Yes, we're talking about the 1997 show Teletubbies. Now, the item that caught the attention of the internet are actually some knee-high, bright neon green boots with a stiletto heel and Dipsy from the Teletubbies on the front, like the actual 3D kind of puppet character on top of them. They look very interesting. I'm not sure if I'm that fashionable to wear them, but, you know, to each them their own. And if you did decide that, yes, this is exactly what you want to express in your outfit, well, you would be set back a cool £2,000. Ooh, it's a fair bit of money. Anyways, still to come on the happy hour, we'll be taking a listen to nature with the latest sensory reflections. That's coming up after this one from Badly Drawn Boy and All Possibilities. It's a great one. Enjoy it. All right, it's time on the happy hour to tune in to the natural world around us with his latest sensory reflection. Here's Andy.
Hi, welcome to episode 3 of Sensory Reflections with me, Andy Shipley of Natural Inclusion, on RNIB Connect Radio's happy hour. Each month we'll be reflecting upon one or two things going on in nature for you to tune into and do. So, things to listen out for. The starring feature of the soundscape of this time of year is really the dawn chorus. The chorus usually begins about 30 minutes before sunrise, usually with a virtuoso solo from a robin or a song thrush. And then up until about 40 minutes after sunrise, the chorus builds. It's usually started by those birds who have the largest eyes and therefore can detect light at the earliest times in the morning. There's also another chorus which occurs at the end of the day during dusk, which is also worth listening to in its own right and has a slightly different feel to it. So it might be worth making the effort to get up a bit earlier and try and find a spot in nature where you can get comfortable with a flask and maybe a little bit of breakfast about half an hour before sunrise and just immerse yourself in the musical magic of the dawn chorus. It's also possible to hear another animal taking to the skies at this time of year. This is the time of year when bats begin to emerge from hibernation, and they're usually very hungry and therefore trying to hoover the skies for as many insects as they can consume. One bat, the pipistrelle, can consume as many as 3,000 insects per night. Nearly all bats cause a too high a frequency for us to hear, but there's one bat, the noctual bat, which actually calls at a very low and slow frequency of 20 kilohertz, which is in the range of human hearing. And many people, particularly young children, are able to hear that. So we're going to hear that now. The noctual bat is, in fact, the UK's largest bat and comes out at twilight. So it can be seen, and you'll see it flitting in and out of the treetops and also above the trees. And as I say, if you're lucky, we'll actually be able to hear it as well. One thing we can do to help bats and birds and nature more widely is to create the environment and the conditions that will support them. So in the case of bats, that would be to plant flowers that are most fragrant in the evening, such as night blooming jasmine, evening primrose, or honeysuckle. And by planting more wildflowers like poppies, foxgloves, oxeye daisies, or geraniums, we can also attract insects and pollinators that both help plant life but also feed the bats and birds as well. So that's it for this month's Sensory Reflections. If you want to find out more about my work, you can go to my website, www.natural-inclusion.org, or drop me an email at andy@natural-inclusion.org. So until next time, stay sensational.
Can't Fight the Moonlight by Leanne Rimes. Now, unfortunately, that track brings us to the end of today's Happy Hour. Thank you so much for listening. You can find our podcast online. It's Happy Hour Podcast, wherever you listen to them. Now, I'm going to leave us with a special spring music therapy choice today. I thought we can go a bit more classic with this really, really lovely one from Vivaldi. It's The Four Seasons with Spring. Now remember, if you would like to share a music therapy moment with us, just email in. It's radio@rnab.org.uk. Now you enjoy the music and maybe try and figure out what you want to plant in your garden if the Thrive tips we had today for you helped you out. I'm definitely going to be trying to figure out how to get kale planted because I can't find it anywhere in the stores right now. Anyway, you have a great day and I'll see you on the show next week. Bye!
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.